This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
We lead tonight on the new bill to allow trans and gender diverse Victorians to change their birth certificates to reflect their self-affirmed gender identity, which is facing opposition from certain groups. The last attempt to change the birth certificate law in Victoria was in 2016, and it failed to pass by a single vote following a parliamentary debate that was described as toxic and harmful. But next week in the Victorian Parliament, the Birth, Death and Marriage Amendment Bill is set to return and be discussed. We will hear the personal stories from across the trans community, which make it clear why this law change is so important to trans and gender diverse Victorians. We hear that Victoria would be following other states and countries towards best practice and policy.
As we go to air tonight, those opposing the law change are holding a public meeting entitled The Future of Sex-Based Rights at the University of Melbourne. It is also expected there will be protesters and activists on campus who have argued the meeting is a platform for transphobic speech and have called on the university to cancel the event. We hope to bring you a live report on what is happening on the campus later in the show. But first, why is this law change so important and what would it mean for trans and gender diverse Victorians? We asked four trans advocates, Michelle, Aram, Miranda and Sam.
So my name is Sam Elkin. I work as the LGBTIQ outreach lawyer.
My name is Miranda Sparks. I am the peer facilitator in transgender support for the Mental Health Foundation of Australia.
Hi, my name is Michelle Shepherd, also known as Mama Mish. I'm a presenter here at Joy FM and a diversity consultant.
And my full name is Aram Hoogie. I'm the Director of Engagement with Equality Australia.
Because of the regressive laws in Victoria, you can't change your sex marker on your birth certificate unless you have surgery to your reproductive organs. So that's typically known as bottom surgery in the trans and gender diverse community. And these surgeries are extremely expensive. A lot of people don't want them or feel that they need them to affirm who they are. A lot of people don't have access to them. There's one surgeon, for example, who does, trans mask type bottom surgery up in Brisbane. It costs, I think, $100,000. Trans and gender diverse people, I think we play an important role in a range of contributions to society, we're very much unemployed or underemployed at the moment as a general rule. A lot of people are struggling on Newstart or the DSP. We don't have $100,000 to spare. The state government shouldn't put this kind of barrier in our way to get a primary piece of an identity document that just reflects who we are.
I think it's important for folks to know, particularly when it comes to vulnerable trans people, that we live in a society that looks to ungender us every day and to catch us out and to tell us we're less than. Even though we aren't less than, a lot of people like to tell us that. And there's this very strong social message there, which a lot of people have internalized. You know, having to reveal these documents to folks all the time and to essentially out yourself every time, it can be a humiliating process and connects to the number of experiences folks have where the world is looking to take our own sense of self away.
The thing I've learned in 6 years, so I didn't live as a gay man before. I lived as a heterosexual man. I had a wife, two kids, privately bisexual. And I wasn't aware of any of this sort of stuff myself. But as I learned in the 6 years of coming out and the many very off-air conversations I've had, that most of us only are aware of the oppression that we face ourselves. So you as a gay man usually would be only aware of the oppression you felt within society. And most things that affect you beyond really aren't something that's affecting you beyond. Most people assumed that I would have been a gay man who then would have come out. And so there are assumptions that as soon as you come out as trans, that you're going to want to have a lower surgery or that you want to start dating men. And that's not necessarily the case for many of us as trans women. Same thing as trans men or non-binary. So I'm finding that in the wider community, there are people who may jump up and down because it is an important issue, but they're not really invested in the situation as much as we are.
because the Victorian legislation requires you to have had surgical intervention, you can't have a surgical intervention until you're over the age of 18. It means that in practical terms, transgender, diverse young people who are under the age of 18 aren't able to get their birth certificate changed. And that then in turn has some very real implications, particularly in a school context around the risk of discrimination, but also seeking employment or seeking access to Centrelink and NewStart. And so one of the things that the bill will do will be to make it possible to create a pathway for young people under the age of 18 to be able to change their birth certificate. And that's going to make a massive difference to the lives and the safety of trans and gender diverse young people.
We say, you know, we live in a, you know, a society that looks down on discrimination, but it does happen all the time. And the most infuriating part is how little you can prove it. You know, somebody might just, you know, see that, say, oh, they're transgender, I don't want them. That means they have mental illness. That means they self-harm and, you know, might reject a folk out, might reject a person on an application outright on that. It's happened so many times and continues to happen and is really, really difficult to prove on paper as well. And not having to out yourself like that each and every time you have to interact with an official body is certainly going to help a lot of people.
It does mean a lot to me. I actually was born overseas, so I wasn't born in Victoria, so all of the laws are state level. So I personally will still not be able to get my ID changed, but I also work as an LGBTIQ outreach lawyer and I help a lot of people with their change of name documents, and it would be an absolute joy for me to be able to help people change their sex marker on their birth certificate as well. I know how much it means to people to just have documents that reflect who they are, and I know how upsetting it is when your documents are all over the place and, you know, one document might say you're a she, one document might say you're a he, and, yeah, not to mention the fact that at the moment in Victoria you can't have non-binary as your gender identity, and that's one of the exciting things about this proposed bill is that people can choose their gender identity marker. So they do have the right to refuse, but we would assume that things like genderqueer or non-binary would definitely, you know, pass muster for the purposes of this new legislation if it is passed.
Yeah, well, so young people will often have an experience where, for example, they're able to change their name, but then they get a nice new document that has their new name, but it's still got the incorrect sex listed on it. And you know, I think a little bit like, I think gay and lesbian people can relate to this in the context of why marriage certificates were so important. Like having a piece of paper that says, yes, your relationship is real, it's valid, it exists, it's registered, it is the same as anybody else's relationship. That was really important. And in the same way that a marriage certificate was important for many people to recognise their relationship, so a birth certificate is important to many transgender diverse people to give that sense of, yes, your identity is real, it's valid, it's recognised, it's as important as anybody else's. And it's just that kind of validation of saying that who you are is exactly who you are and how you're seen and recorded and understood to be in society.
Start raising further awareness. Start thinking about the guests you have on the show. Start thinking about content you're doing here on Joy. You know, Joy, this is an advocacy space. This isn't always about what fun underwear party we're having on the weekend. This isn't always about the fruity markets that we're doing on whatever fruity fruits in the snow fields, or it isn't always midsummer carnival where we're getting our leather straps on. This is about advocacy to begin with. And this is still hanging over from marriage equality. And I know I'm sounding like an absolute bitch in this moment saying this and calling out the community, but we're still feeling the effects of after marriage equality with the trans community. We're thrown under the bus. And you get the whole, yeah, kind of aware of it, really don't know what to do, I'll give my hopes and prayers. But we need more. We need to raise more awareness. So if you have, say, your leather strap weekend, are there trans men in there? Are you having a lesbian get together? How many trans women are in there? Are we talking about non-binary and maybe the bear community? We need to start raising awareness that we are part of a wider community together and get away from just the white middle class stereotype of our communities.
Many thanks to Aram, Michelle, Miranda, and Sam for sharing their experiences and opinions. Coming up, we hear from Fiona Patten, a key parliamentarian whose support is just one of those needed if the bill that allows trans and gender diverse Victorians to easily amend their ID documents is to succeed.
Tonight on The Informer, the Births, Deaths and Marriages Amendment Bill that is set to return before the Parliament next week.
Sally Golder, Acting CEO of Transgender Victoria, summarised just how the change will work and highlighted how this is very much needed. She gave us her own reading and political analysis of the trans birth certificate debate so far and the prospects for a vote of change in the upper house of Victorian Parliament.
It will allow for an affirmed identity, which helps people who maybe can't afford to have surgery or perhaps because of other medical conditions can't go on an operating table. It will give minors the birth certificate they need with, of course, parent/guardian approval, and so that they, if they need to go for a holiday job, they don't need to out themselves. It will allow for more than two options, and we have 50% of the trans and gender diverse community that identifies as other than male or female, and the mechanism for change that it does is far less pathologising than what we have previously in terms of medical sign-off, so to speak. So these are, you know, much-needed reforms that will just make the process fairer and easier for all concerned. In relation to other states and territories, and I will add in passport regulations at a national level, which is very similar, we now have four states and territories in chronological order of passing good laws: ACT, South Australia, Northern Territory and Tasmania, who have what I would call well above pass mark, if I can use that term, birth certificate laws, and that they are based on affirmed identity and not surgery. They allow for young people to change with parent/guardian approval, and in some cases there are more than two options of male or female. So most of those go well above into what is close to best practice. And there's lots of other jurisdictions around the world, such as Spain, Ireland, Argentina, just to name the first three that come to mind off the top of my head. So you can see that we've got a range of countries and backgrounds there who have done similar laws. Argentina's laws are often seen in combination with other issues such as medical care as almost a trans bill of rights. So there's been plenty of these for some time. And coming back to Australia, passports have had a similar-ish process to what's been proposed in Victoria since 2011. So we have experience of them working well. Victoria's laws would therefore, on the birth certificate front, make things even better.
That was Sally Goldner, Acting CEO, Transgender Victoria.
The Victorian bill heads back to Parliament next week, where the opposition will pick up the debate. Last time, the Victorian Liberals opposed the law change, but it would appear that the bill is likely to pass the lower house this time, where the Labor government has a clear majority of MPs. The bill would then head to the Upper Legislative Assembly, where the Labor government is reliant on the support of at least three crossbenchers.
Recent party leader Fiona Patten is one of those key crossbenchers, and she spoke to The Informer about the bill and how she is considering voting. She told The Informer that she has already received significant volumes of messages on the bill, but that these were almost exclusively from those opposing the law change.
Look, largely we had this debate back in 2016 when a very similar bill was brought to the House and sadly was defeated in the upper house. However, I'm on the Scrutiny of Acts and Regulations Committee, and we have had a number of applications and submissions to that to say that this bill may trespass unduly on the rights or freedoms of women. Now, this bill is actually to allow for the rights and freedoms of our transgender brothers and sisters and of our, you know, gender-diverse friends in the community. So I think, in actual fact, it helps to stop the discrimination that many of our fellow travellers are experiencing.
Thinking about the LGBTIQ community, the community that listens to Joy, what have you heard from them since this new bill was introduced?
I haven't had these arguments from some of the women's organisations in the previous iteration of this bill, and so I am meeting with a number of those groups. I've I've warned, I've said to them, I can't see you changing my mind on this, but I'm very happy to hear about the concerns and whether we do need to allay them. An interesting point that they raise is under our charter and under our equal opportunity legislation, that legislation is actually quite binary in its definitions of gender. So I think what has happened is I've been flagged that we may need to do some amendments to our Equal Opportunity Act to reflect these changes that are going through in our birth, death and marriages amendment bill.
In your experience as a seasoned parliamentarian now, what will make a difference, and what from the LGBTIQ community can we do to reach out to politicians on the crossbench?
I think telling people's personal stories. I mean, it's a common phrase, but the politics is personal, and so personal stories I think have the greatest effect on people, particularly people who may not have a lot of experience in the debates around this, experience with our LGBTIQ community. So those personal stories of how this legislation and how the changes to this legislation will affect them or will affect their children. I've certainly had a number of people talking about their children who are non-binary and how this will enable those children to have that status respected and reflected, and particularly respected within the education system. So I think that's really important. I suppose the concerns that a lot of the people are raising, and it comes from a fairly radical feminist perspective, because, you know, apart from Bernie Finn, who you'd say is a radical conservative, it's only the likes of Sheila Jeffries and some of those really radical feminist commentators who were taking the concern about women's safety up to the members of parliament. So, if you can dispute that argument, great. But more importantly, personal stories.
So tomorrow night there is a meeting of the Women's Guild organised at Melbourne University, and there will be a protest as well, and the meeting is called The Future of Sex-Based Rights. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that, very close to that.
With many of the key people that you're talking about participating of that, I'm presuming, if it goes ahead. And there's been a letter written from university students and from a number of organisations asking Melbourne University not to run that on their site. What is the free speech issue here?
Look, I do think these people do have a right to free speech, but not when it is vilifying or discriminating against another group of humans and people. So they have the right to express their opinions. They do not have the right to discriminate or vilify others in our community.
That was Fiona Patten, leader of the Reason Party. Sally Goldner gave us her own reading of the debate so far and the prospects of a vote for change in the upper house.
You're reasonably optimistic that this bill will go through, but we can't be certain, can we?
Yeah, look, we have a better situation in the upper house where if everyone votes, we need 21 out of 40 votes, and we have 18 Labor, 1 Greens and 1 Reason Party, a.k.a. Fiona Patten. So we've got 20, and then the 21st vote has emerged thanks to, I think, resilient and positive story of Andy Medic, the Animal Justice Party MP, who has declared publicly and been photographed with his one of his children who is trans. But all the same, we need to make sure we get as many of the other crossbenchers on side. I haven't had any public declaration of their position as yet. And we are aware, sadly, that, well, I'll say sadly and with a little bit of sarcasm, surprise, surprise, combination of the far right and some so-called radical feminists are mobilising against the bill, trying to delay or stop it. So the more people who do get in contact with upper house MPs in their electorate from the crossbench and the Liberals and Nationals and say why this bill is needed is really, really, really important. And it can also help, therefore, at least reduce maybe the possibility of what we consider to be pretty hateful and transphobic comments from many Liberals and Nationals in 2016. And there's lots of work being done. So I think that while we can have a degree of confidence, I think we need to be really working hard until we have that final vote and make sure it gets through as solidly as it can. I'd really strongly urge people do that. It's not, just a quick email or phone call. Keep an eye on your social media in the next week or so for links that will come around where you'll be able to do that and assist as well. Really strongly urge that.
So what can we do to support our community? Equality Australia has organised a letter writing campaign, and you can go to equalityaustralia.org.au to send a message to your MP telling them to support the Fair Birth Certificate laws. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. We return now to our top story on the Births, Deaths and Marriages Amendment Bill that is set to go to vote before the Lower House of Parliament next week. A public meeting entitled The Future of Sex-Based Rights is currently being held at the University of Melbourne. There are protesters and activists on campus opposing this meeting, claiming it is just give space for transphobia. We now go live to Informer reporter Ian Muchamore, who is at the protest. Ian?
Hello there.
Hi, what can you tell us?
Well, we've just been... there's been a protest at the event at Melbourne University. And I'm with Andy, who is one of the organisers of that event from Melbourne University. And you're a queer officer also at the university, Andy. Yes. Andy, can you tell us what happened tonight? They're still going on inside. They're still talking about what their problems are with the Births, Deaths and Marriages Act. What's been happening outside? Why are you protesting?
Yes, so ultimately we're a group of staff students and also a whole lot of other trans people and activists here. And we're protesting an event which has gone ahead called The Future of Sex-Based Rights. It's been put forward by a few activists who have said some quite nasty things about trans people in the past. And ultimately, what they're discussing is whether women will continue to have rights, cis women will continue to have rights, if trans women have the right to ultimately identify, to exist for the law as the gender they identify with.
And do you believe that this event shouldn't have happened at all tonight? It certainly shouldn't have been supported by University of Melbourne.
Not at all. I mean, some of the speakers which have been put forward have records of statements, anti-trans statement, which have also been quite racist, and they have portrayed trans people to be objects of fear, which ultimately sows the seeds of violence against trans people. So we don't think that statements, or people who put forward statements that allow violence to happen against trans people, we don't think that those people should be here on campus. And ultimately, the university giving them a venue and a platform to share those views is despicable. And you can't have a university which commits to a pride and diversity policy and commits to diversity inclusion, which then allows its staff for people to come to university and then spread transphobic vitriol.
And are you happy, Andy, that your voice has been heard or the voices have been heard tonight? Been a reasonably good turnout?
Yeah, totally. It's been, I think, over 100 people on two entrances, and it's been organised by trans people. So it's been so good to be out here putting out a counter-narrative that trans voices should be held and trans rights should be recognised before the law, and the state should be telling us, should be dictating our gender identities. And we should be able to identify how we want to and exist as such.
Well, thank you for organising the event. Thank you for coming out for trans rights on a very cold Melbourne night.
Yeah.
And we'll head back to the studio.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ian.
We now have Sally Goldner, the acting CEO of Transgender Victoria, who shared her views on what the community can do to show their support for the Births, Deaths and Marriage Amendment Bill.
Personal stories do work, saying what can happen to give a quick example of this myself. I, as part of Transgender Victoria, we started a discussion group a few years ago, and naturally we needed to get people police checked, working with children checked, etc. And so I was out and about one day and thought, I'll drop my paperwork at that post office that I know is on the way home. Yes, park, walk in. Oh, I've got to hand over a birth certificate that still says male. And so you're suddenly outing yourself to a group of strangers, and for one of my trans man colleagues who had to do the same thing, who walks in with the beard, I mean, a little stereotypical beard and deep voice, and there was just incredulous looks from the person behind the post office counter. So it's that sort of stress and anxiety that can just be minimised so we have an equal chance to be involved in our community and do things like facilitating a discussion group or whatever. So personal stories are one thing, but part of me doesn't want to mention it, but we know there are, well, myths and exaggerations, to put it mildly, out there. So have information about that, be a little prepared for that. And one that I think needs to be talked about is the situation that I think we always knew, but there is now a total free and candid admission from fundamentalist Christians that the bathroom bait is a, quote, a fabrication they concocted to whip up emotion, end quote. So, you know, really putting that across that, hey, you know, you might have heard something, but let's work through it carefully. Does it really exist? I think is really important, just to have that as backup. Don't go out of your way to mention it, but be prepared. Work through some of the, you know, as I say, this one's a lie, but there are often exaggerations and fabrications. So be just a little prepared to counter those. And I know everyone can do that because we know what the truth is.
That was Sally Goldner, Acting CEO of Transgender Victoria.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.